Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And let's ask God's help on this. Our Father, we do turn to you to ask you to prepare our hearts and minds for studying your word. And Father, to help us to, at whatever state of growth we are at, to receive something today in the study that would benefit us spiritually and help us to live better for you and to appreciate your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the work that he did at Calvary, that we might glorify you through our life. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We introduced the book of Ephesians, like I say, 2 weeks ago. Last week we spent most of the time looking at verse 3, where Paul begins to just spill out an overflow of praise to God because of the realization of what he has in Christ. And when he talks about what he has in Christ, verse 3 said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And we looked at that last week and got an idea what the spiritual blessings are and what spiritual is in itself, just something that comes that's invisible by its very nature, but a reality as well, a real reality, a real blessing of God that comes to us by the Spirit of God. And all that we have, because we possess the Spirit of God, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And the heavenlies is the area of our blessings, and all blessings come through Christ. Now, you know, we looked at verse 3 last time, talking about the reality of spiritual blessings, so that you would get to understand that and to appreciate that. I need to say, just in the introduction of today, that in verse 3, there's two things that you need to remember. And that is that we are blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And what we need to do is we need to appreciate what that is. And there's a song that says, Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. You know, that's something we need to do. You need in your life to learn how to appreciate the blessings you have. And that verse tells you what blessings you have. You have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And you need to value the things that God has blessed you with. Now, if you're blessed with all spiritual blessings, then you realize that if you're blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, then you're not talking about physical blessings upon the earth. And if you get all caught up in all your interests and all your desires of life is to look at physical blessings that you have here and now, then you are not counting your blessings. And you're not learning to appreciate the things that God has called on you to appreciate. And that is, there's something just as real, but it's not here and now. It's spiritual blessings that you have as a reality now, but that'll manifest itself in the heavenly places forever. And they're yours in Christ, and you need to learn how to appreciate that. Most Christians, they get saved, and they are blessed with all spiritual blessings, because that comes as a gift from God upon salvation. But if you don't learn to appreciate it, you won't say what Paul says, Blessed be the God and Father for it. You won't be praising God for what you have if you don't learn to value that. And so you need to value those things and realize that they're something that you need to understand what they are, and you need to learn to appreciate them. Now, to appreciate and to value a spiritual blessing tells you, number one, that you're going to have to become spiritual. You know what the opposite of spiritual is? It's carnal. Carnal is always thinking about earthly, physical things. The only way you'll ever value your spiritual blessings is if you learn to be spiritual. And spiritual means to have a mind on spiritual things. Let me show you just a couple verses. Come over, hold your place in Ephesians, just a couple books over to, or is it the next book, Philippians, where Paul does some rebuking of some enemies of the cross. And he'll not only he'll tell us to follow him in the way he values things and thinks about things. He says in verse 17, Brethren, Philippians 3:17, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example. So walk like Paul, and mark those who walk contrary. And he explains the contrary walk in verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. That is, the people who are enemies of the cross of Christ are people that can't get their eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and what he has blessed us with in a spiritual sense. And all they can do is their God is their belly. They want to fill the flesh, and they want all the earthly things that they can get their hands on. And those people are actually enemies of the cross of Christ. A lot of people preach what's called a prosperity message today, and I hope you realize that I preached our prosperity message last week. Because when we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, that's our prosperity. That's what God has bestowed upon us. But some people can only mind earthly things, and all they can see is a bank account and how much they possess and how much money they have and what kind of home they have and what kind of car they drive, and they think that God is running around today blessing them here on earth with physical things, and that's not what God is doing today. And they're not counting their blessings at all. They're counting blessings that God promised to the nation of Israel. But you and I not only need to realize that that isn't our blessings, you and I need to know what our blessings are so that we can start valuing what we have in Christ. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And it has all to do with everything that God has given you in Christ in your salvation and all of God's purpose for you that he's going to use you for in his heavenly purpose in the heavenly places. And you need to learn about that, and then you need to count on those things and value them, because Paul says that our walk is affected here, that we're to be followers together of him, and then mark those who walk contrary, because you have them for an example. Now, how did Paul walk? Well, after he told them, verse 18 and 19, don't walk like those who mind earthly things, he says, for our conversation, our manner of life, our way of living is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Paul says his conversation, he lives down here with his eyes up there, knowing someday Jesus Christ is going to come, and then we're going to be glorified, and we're going to go into the heavenly places, and we're going to inherit the things that God has for us for all eternity in the heavenly places. And his life, he lives down here with the eternal heavenly outlook in view. He's not going around trying to get rich. And this is the book where Paul says over in chapter 4 that he says, verse 12, I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He looked for a spiritual blessing. You know what his spiritual blessing was? That he can go through any situation in this life and he can do all things. That all things includes I can eat and be full and rejoice to the glory of God, or I can go without a dinner and be hungry and cold and rejoice to the glory of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, he didn't have an earthly view in mind. He had a heavenly view in mind. And he counted on his spiritual blessings. What? Christ in you, the hope of glory. God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Paul counted on that. And when he says over in verse 19, here's a verse. He says in verse 19 of chapter 4 of Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to what? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The riches that we have, the wealth that we have, are spiritual riches. They're spiritual wealth. They're his riches in glory, and according to what he has done for you in glory, that is enough to supply your need for whatever you go through in life. It's not supplying all your physical need. It's supplying all your need, period. And all your need is to realize that God has blessed you with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and according to those riches, it's a supply for you to go through any situation you can go through or must go through. I when you talk about our riches, and there's nothing like the book of Ephesians that's going to go through and talk about the riches and the riches and the riches. When you talk about our riches, you think of things like the basic things. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which says concerning the gospel of grace, it says, you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, That's up in heaven. Yet for our sakes he was made poor. That's down on earth. That ye through his poverty might be made rich. Jesus Christ came down from the riches of heaven, died, lived on this earth, no place to lay his head, died on a cross, didn't even bury him in a tomb that he owned himself. It was another man's tomb they had to bury him in. He died as not only as a poor man, but also as a sinner, as one dying for our sins. He paid for our sins. For what reason? That we might be made rich. What are those riches? The riches in glory, the riches of heaven, the riches of eternal life, the riches in heavenly places. And so the Apostle Paul talks about us having our minds there. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Your affections. Not on things of heaven, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. The riches of glory. And that's where we're not only to think spiritually, count the spiritual blessings, understand the things that God has given us in Christ, and the ultimate destiny of it is in heavenly places, live down here with that prospect in mind and that helping you through all situations in life, and also setting those affections of yours there, rather than your affections on a new car, a new house, new clothing, and all the things that you can see physically and for your own food and for your own belly and those type of things. You have to be spiritually minded to count those blessings, and Paul calls on us to do that. Come back to Ephesians, and I'm not going to go through all these, but I want to at least hit the ones in chapter 3 where Paul talks about riches. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. His prayer is that he would grant unto you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You know what Paul calls riches? It's you having the Holy Spirit in you, and by the Holy Spirit in you, strengthening you with all might by God's Spirit in the inner man. Paul said, that's rich. That's the riches of glory. That's the riches that he prays that God would be ministering to you in, and that you would be growing in. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. When Paul talks about his ministry of dispensing grace among the Gentiles, he said unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? And you know what he's talking about? The gospel of our salvation in the day of God's grace. And not just the fact that God is saving us, but what God is going to do with us, which is all about what the book of Ephesians is about, is God's purpose for us in the heavenly places. And Paul calls that the unsearchable riches of his grace. Not just unsearchable truths. He said those truths are rich. And those are the truths that will strengthen you in the inner man when you learn to count on those things and appreciate those things. So Ephesians chapter 1. One other thing that we need to say about verse 3. And that is that you live practically counting those riches that you have in Christ. Is don't ever forget where they come from. There are riches, there are spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And it's when you got into Christ that all the benefit that God has to give to Jesus Christ, you became a part of. We said in the close of last week's sermon, it's like getting a job at General Motors and you become part of their benefit package. Now Ford's got a new one, huh? Ever since last week. But when you become part of that corporation, you get all the blessings that benefits that are there. And when you get into Christ, all that God is ever going to do with Christ, you become part of the benefits that Christ is going to inherit throughout all eternity once you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then you're cut out of all those benefits. And I want to remind you of Ephesians chapter 2, and this will all help you in just a little bit too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, where Paul says, Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles. Now, what does that mean? Well, in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time, when you were called Gentiles, you know, we're not Gentiles anymore. You and I who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, there's Jew and Gentile, and there's the Church of God. There's the body of Christ. And in Christ, there's neither Jew or Gentile. But there was a time you were outside of Christ. And as a Gentile, when you were outside of Christ, there was a time when God was dealing with the nation of Israel, and at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world, in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. To be outside of Christ is not to be brought nigh, it's to still be outside the blessings of God. But there was a time that only the nation of Israel had the blessings of God, and that's what this chart is about. There was a time that you could have been blessed in the nation of Israel. But Paul is talking about us today being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places where? In Christ, in the body of Christ. There was a time where people were blessed in the nation of Israel for God's purpose for the nation of Israel, but God's doing something different today. And not only do you need to count on the spiritual program that God has brought in, that we're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but those blessings are now in Christ Himself. And we're going to learn about that. And if you're outside of Christ, then you're not nigh unto God. You're not part of any blessing that God has. You're totally alienated still. How do you get in Christ? Well, perhaps we better do one more flip here, and that is come to the book before Ephesians. And I would say to you that the books, now listen to this, the books before the book of Ephesians tells you how to get in Christ. You know, the first time you talk about being in Christ is Romans chapter 6, where Paul then begins to say to the Romans, he says, "Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into His death." And then he goes on how we've been identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But you know, up until chapter 6, he never talked about being baptized into Christ. You know what he kept talking about? He kept talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins and how that through the cross of Christ we can be justified by faith. And what he means by that is he begins to talk about how the righteousness of Jesus Christ is imputed to us. All I got to do is find a scrap paper here. There we go. What the righteousness of Christ is here's you and I, and there's not enough black on this paper, but there is some stain there, some sin. And you and I are sinners, and in our sin we're not righteous before God. But Jesus Christ, through His death on the cross, paid for our sins so that there is a salvation. And when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened is God imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. Now that's explained in Philippians this way. Paul said to be found in Christ. If this Bible be Christ, rather than being found in my righteousness, which is of the law, Paul said, that his goal was to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God, the righteousness of God by faith. The way God declared you righteous on faith is when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for your sins, God placed you in Christ and clothed you with the righteousness of Christ. He sees you in Christ, and He sees you with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your sins taken away at the cross, and through faith, the righteousness of God imputed. And the way it's imputed is you're placed into Christ, and that's why when Paul gets to Romans chapter 6, he talks about you being baptized into Christ, not into water, but into Christ. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit." By one Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're studying over here in Ephesians. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. What's one of those spiritual blessings? The moment you believe, there was a spiritual baptism that took place. You, by the Spirit, by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are we baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we're neither Jew or Gentile anymore. What are we? We're the body of Christ. We're one with Jesus Christ. We're in Him. Now that's what Paul's been teaching, and now you come over here to Galatians, and he teaches it again, Galatians chapter 3. And Galatians chapter 3 is all about God bringing in the justification on the basis of faith, how God before told Abraham that he would be declared righteous on the basis of faith, and how God finally brought that about. And the way that it's brought about is, you'll notice up in verse 24, back in 24, Galatians 3:24, it says, "Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Now watch him put all this together. "But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." Now there was a time that God kept people in the law, kept them from sin, until there was going to be a means of something to believe in so that you could be justified. You know what that is? That's the message of the cross, justification by faith. That wasn't always preached. That's preached in Acts chapter 13 when the Apostle Paul has his ministry and goes out among the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul writes about it in Romans chapter 6, about being justified through the cross work of Christ, and how faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary, we can be justified. So when faith finally came, that message of justification by faith, it says we're no longer under the schoolmaster. Why? Verse 26, for we're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, how did we all become children of God on the basis of faith? Well, we're already told we're justified. But look what verse 27 goes on to explain. For as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Here's our picture again, isn't it? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on what? Christ. You know whose righteousness you're clothed in? The righteousness of Christ. That's why you're justified by faith. Because when you believe, you were baptized into Christ, and the verse goes on to say, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, for ye all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And that is the promise of justification by faith, that we've been made part of that through being placed into Jesus Christ. So, the means by which you become part of the body of Christ. Now, this symbol here represents the whole world, and we'll get to that. But how you become part of the body of Christ, when you get into Christ, how do you get into him? You believe what he did at Calvary. How that he is the payment for sin. How the only way you can be just before God is by believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, trusting him, the one who died for your offenses and was raised for your justification. And when you believe that, God not only declared you righteous, he put you in his Son, and in his Son, you're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You're in his Son on the basis of faith. Now that's important to know and to have that understanding as we continue in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 4. Because he's not done, the sentence isn't over. He says in verse 3 again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So as Paul goes on now and begins to enumerate some of the spiritual blessings, and as we're done, as you go through here, there's seven blessings that are listed here. The first one he just called all, but now he begins to talk about a choosing that God has made, a choice that God has made. And he says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When you talk about that word choose or chosen, what you're talking about is making a choice. God made a choice, and this choice goes back before the foundation of the world, and this choice regards us. But Paul brings out the fact that we are part of the chosen, and that word chosen, it means to make a choice, it means to select, and another term for that is the word elect. Now come over with me to Mark chapter 13. Now we'll introduce this week. And then we'll proceed through it next week. But learn some definitions. And then our scripture reading that we made, we'll have to make the significance of that come out next week. I went to Matthew. Mark chapter 13. And all I want to do here is point out how this word chosen, or to choose, means is the same thing as elect. Mark chapter 13 and verse 20. And you're probably familiar with this verse. It says, "And except that the Lord hath shortened these days, those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days." The elect's sake, whom he hath chosen. Elect means to select. And God has made a choice about some people here. And he said that if in the tribulation period, and that's what time you're looking at there, that in this tribulation, if God didn't make those days shorter, then it would have deceived the elect that he chose. He chose the elect. There's a group of people that God is dealing with there that he chose to be his people. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about us here, and he says concerning us that you and I have been chosen. But if you, in Ephesians, it says, verse 4 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You see that word according? The Apostle Paul, throughout the book of Ephesians, I found that to be the most commonly used word in the book of Ephesians, the word according. Paul is constantly telling us the word according talks about the purpose, the cause, or the reasoning behind. And Paul is always talking about the purpose of God, the purpose of God. And we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because, or for the purpose of God's elect. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according to the election of God. And when you talk about the election of God, you're talking about a purpose of God, according to something that God is doing. And we have been blessed with these blessings in those places in Christ because of what God has chosen to do. And we get into this verse that talks about God choosing to do something. Now, what I want you to see immediately is this verse begins to be a point of controversy because some people read into this verse what's not there. Now, look at the verse closely. It says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. The verse does not say, according as he has chosen us to be in him before the foundation of the world. The verse actually says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, that the difference in that is the difference on whether God chose you to be in Christ or did God choose those who are in Christ before the foundation of the world for a reason. And that's exactly what the verse is talking about, that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings according to an election of God. What is God's election? That he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. That's what God elected to do. Who'd God elect to do that to? He elected to do that to those of us who are in Christ. Now, before you were saved, were you in Christ? No. Those in Christ are the elect, right? That God chooses to do something with for his own purpose. But before you trusted Jesus Christ, not only were you not in Christ, you're not one of God's elect. Only when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior did you get placed into Christ and then become part of God's elect for a reason that God is going to achieve. Let me show you in Ephesians. Look at, I pointed out the word according to. If you go down to verse 10, and I'm kind of jumping ahead here, it says, verse 9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. That, now see, here's God doing something for a purpose that he has determined to do, some choices he has made. And what is that purpose that he has done? That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. God's going to take all that are in Christ, whether they be in Christ in heavenly places or Christ in the earth, and in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he's going to gather them both, the heavenly purpose and the earthly purpose, together in one which is in Christ. Now, that's God's intent for eternity future. Now, we became part of God's program in eternity past. That is, those of us who are in Christ, we become, before the foundation of the world, we became part of God's intent for his heavenly places. Isn't that what we learned in verse 3? That we're blessed with all spiritual blessings where? In heavenly places in Christ. Now you find out when we get down a little bit further in Ephesians, that is in the dispensation of the fullness of time, after time has run its course, after the thousand-year reign of Christ, and you get into eternity future, that it's God's purpose to take all things and put them into Jesus Christ. But what are those all things? All the things that are in heaven and all the things that are in earth. Now, you and I are the things that are in Christ in heavenly places. Now, the first thing we want to do is realize that the us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him, you know who the us is? It's the believer. He didn't choose us to be a believer. He chose the believers who are in Christ for a particular reason. Now, the reason I know that is we already started out in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed who? Us. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, who's us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You keep talking about the us as you go down through here. Let's find out who the us is. So you go down through the chapter, and you come down to verse 12, and you finally get a clue who the us is. Verse 12 says, that we should be to the praise of his glory, see the we there, who first trusted in Christ. Oh, now we start figuring out, who are these elect from the foundation of the world that God has a purpose for out in eternity future? But our place is in the heavenly places. Who is this group of us? It's those who first trusted in Christ. Now watch the us continue in chapter 1. Come over to verse 19, Paul's prayer, part of Paul's prayer. He says, among things that he's praying for, and that, and what is the exceeding, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who what? Who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So God is going to do a great thing that Paul prays that you would understand what mighty thing God has accomplished in the resurrection and the high seating of Jesus Christ today, what God is going to accomplish in us who believe. We became part of God's elect when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, and God has chosen in eternity past to take those in Christ and give us a special privilege and a special position in heavenly places in Christ. That's what God chose to do. If you keep on going, you get down into Ephesians chapter 2, and you look at verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved, how? Through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How did you get saved? How did you become part of God's special group? It says through faith. When you made a choice to believe in Jesus Christ, that's when you were justified, isn't it? Isn't that when you were placed into Jesus Christ? That's when you became part of God's elect people today that God has chosen God has chosen to use for his purpose and for our glory. There's glory for us in all of this. And what Ephesians is telling us there is that we have this position in Christ in heavenly places according to a choosing that God has made from the foundation of the world. Now you need to see the significance of the difference of this. Now Ephesians 1:4, notice that our choosing, God choosing to take us, the believers of this age, who are part of the body of Christ, God chose to use us when? And that's why I put the point way over here. Before the foundation of the world, there's Adam created, there's Abraham created, there's David. Before God created the earth and began to call out man on the earth, God had a plan and a purpose for those who would be in Christ in heavenly places. And that goes all the way back before the foundation of the world. Now watch a different reference to this. Hold your place in Ephesians and come to Matthew chapter 25. And there's several of these, but I'll only pick this one. Matthew chapter 25. And here is the prophecies. Matthew 24 is about the second coming of Christ. Matthew 25 is about Israel being judged and then a judgment that's going to fall on the Gentiles. It says in verse 31 of Matthew 25, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come, notice this term, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ according to a plan that God had when? Before the foundation of the world. When Jesus Christ establishes this kingdom and before he lets anyone advance anywhere through this kingdom, he does a judgment here and he begins to talk about these people who are going to be blessed on earth as people that are blessed of the Father with an earthly inheritance on the kingdom on earth, as they've been blessed with that since the foundation of the earth. Now, what you're going to understand in your Bible is that God has two elect groups of people that he's dealt with in Scripture. He has dealt with the elect of the nation of Israel, who will have an earthly inheritance that's going to be theirs, that has been prepared for them because of a choice God made since the foundation of the world. But then when you start studying Paul's epistles and you realize that we're not Israel, we were strangers from the commonwealth that this group of people had. But now in Christ Jesus, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places according to a plan that God had before the foundation of the world, for his glory and for ours as well. And that's what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 there, about our election, something God has chosen to do, and he chose it before the foundation of the world, and we're going to benefit in it. And in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he's going to take both and gather all things in Christ, both which are where? In heaven and which are in earth, and bring it together in Christ. And so there is the program of God already displayed in the book of Ephesians, that you and I, when we come along as dumb Gentiles that didn't have any hope, didn't have a promise, didn't have anything given to us by God's grace in the age in which we live, and through the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ, when we believe that Jesus Christ died for us, we become part of a great plan that God had from eternity past, that he's going to bring to fruition. He's bringing it to fruition in this time. We're going to go out and inherit the heavens, and then in the dispensation of the fullness of time, we'll always be a part of God's plan and purpose. But you're not part of that. That is planned for those who have trusted Jesus Christ and have been placed into Christ. And you're not part of that. You're not part of God's elect until you trusted Jesus Christ. And God did not make a choice. God did not choose who would believe. God chose those who would believe to be part of his purpose for all eternity. And the choice of whether you believe or not, God has left that choice to you. He's called you by the gospel, gave you an opportunity to believe. There was a time you didn't even have an opportunity to be a part of what God was doing. Now you have an opportunity. And today the message is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men, and that Jesus Christ would have all men to be saved. That he's not only is he the Savior of all men, he's especially the Savior of all who believe. And until you make a decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not part of God's plan and purpose. You're not part of God's blessings, and you don't have nothing to be blessed with. You're part of being cast out and be far away from God, and to be part of a group that's going to be in outer darkness for all eternity, separate from the presence of God and his glory. You have to make a decision. And your decision will decide whether you're part of God's elect or not. And that is whether you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'll continue this next week. Let's pray. Our Father, when we started the book of Ephesians, we realized we were entering in a book that just takes your mind and opens it up for us. And boy, it's dangerous for us, Lord, to start playing games with your mind. Help us just to believe the things that are said, not make more of it or less of it, just appreciate it. Help us to understand what it is that you're going to do and what you plan to do with us. It wasn't your will just to save us and leave us ignorant, but it's your will that you'd save us and that we would know the things that you have for us, Word, who believe. And Father, we pray that our eyes will be open to understand that we are part of a plan that you had before the world began, not part of one that you were fulfilling during since the earth began, but one that you had and kept secret from the foundation of the earth and now revealed it. And Father, when we count our blessings, may we look at that and say, that's what I'm part of. No wonder I'm supposed to rejoice in heavenly things and keep my mind in heavenly places, because that's where I'm blessed. That's where my calling is. That's where I'll fulfill a purpose for you for all eternity. Help us to learn that lesson this week and to walk spiritual-minded rather than carnally for your glory.